Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. And if you live or hang out anywhere near the Hudson or East Rivers, downtown, or in Brooklyn or New Jersey, you've probably noticed that constant buzz of whirring helicopters as they fly low for takeoffs and landings. My next guest is leading a call to ban tourist helicopters from using the city-owned downtown heliport in Lower Manhattan. Congressman Gerald Nadler is here with me to talk about this proposal and the quality of life issues that helicopters bring up in Lower Manhattan. Hi, Congressman Nadler. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
You've cited safety issues and quality of life concerns with tourism helicopters as residents have been complaining about the noise of these helicopters. Are there more tourist helicopters taking off from Lower Manhattan, or are we just more aware of them as we're coming to our waterfronts more because of development?
Well, I think the number has increased, but the quality of life issues have been intolerable for years now. And for years, we've been trying to talk to the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. We've had meetings of all kinds of public officials with the FAA, with others, and they've been totally unresponsive. The FAA, didn't matter what administration was in office, has been totally unresponsive because they're responsible really to the aircraft operators. They're supposed to regulate them, but they've been totally captured by them. Now, the tourist helicopters all take off from the downtown heliport in Lower Manhattan. The city, the mayor's office, controls that and could ban the use of tourist helicopters there. You'd still have helicopters for the news and police and safety and other things, but no tourists, even commuter helicopters, but no tourist helicopters, which are by far the greatest part of the problem.
So you have given up on looking to the FAA for a solution, and now you're targeting the mayor by
We're
focusing
targeting
this
the
on
mayor's
the downtown
office
heliport.
Because he really has control, or the mayor's office has control of the downtown heliport. Now, we met, 20 or so elected officials met with the mayor's office about a month and a half ago, and they raised some concerns, obviously, which I thought we answered adequately. One of the concerns they raised is, the chief concern, and this was under the Bloomberg administration also, was, well, this would cost a lot of, if we banned tourist helicopters, the city would lose a lot of tourist income, to which the obvious answer is not true. It's hard to imagine a family planning their vacation to spend a week in New York and deciding, no, we'll go elsewhere because we can't take that 15-minute helicopter ride. We think, and there's a lot of good evidence, that if the tourist helicopters were not available, they'd simply spend the money in some restaurant or a Broadway play or whatever, but they'd still be here. The odds of a family deciding to spend their vacation somewhere other than New York, where they prefer to do New York because of the lack of a 15-minute helicopter ride during the week that they're here, is nil.
How many operators are working out of that downtown heliport offering tourist rides?
I don't remember. Not too many. It's just a handful of operators. I don't remember exactly how many.
And on a sunny Saturday afternoon, I mean, if you live in that part of Brooklyn across from downtown, from Lower Manhattan, or if you live on New Jersey, how many flights are you watching on a peak tourism day?
Oh, you could be watching one every 10 minutes. It depends, but you could be watching. And it's not just downtown Brooklyn. We have complaints from all of Lower Manhattan. We have complaints from the Upper West Side. The helicopters go up the Hudson River and then across to Central Park, across 86th Street, or they go up the Hudson River and then across Upper Manhattan to Yankee Stadium. So we have complaints all up and down the West Side, or all up and down Lower Manhattan and in Brooklyn. This is a tremendous quality of life issue.
So why only target tourism helicopters, and why not commuting helicopters, as you mentioned, those wealthy New Yorkers can take their helicopters to the Hamptons?
For two reasons. Number one, the numbers of tourism helicopters are far greater. And number two, we can more affect them because, again, we have control. The city has control of that downtown heliport. Commuting helicopters might move. These helicopters, as a practical matter, can't move. Some people have raised the odds that, well, maybe they'll go to Teterboro or to heliports in New Jersey. that's not practical, number one. Number one, we have a letter all to the FAA from elected officials there, from the two U.S. senators and Congressman Cires who has the Hudson River in New Jersey opposite my district, asking for the same thing. They don't want the tourist helicopters either. But second of all, the practicality of wanting a tourist helicopter flight over Manhattan or over Yankee Stadium or the Statue of Liberty and going by car, taking a car 45 minutes or an hour to get to a helicopter port in New Jersey and then back for a 15-minute ride is just not going to happen.
I want to read you a comment on our website from Daniel in Whitestone, Queens. He says, it's not just the tourist helicopters here in Northeast Queens. We are subjected to dozens of low-flying helicopters a day shuttling rich folks from Manhattan to the Hamptons or Bridgeport. Those aren't tourists, he says. And he says there's no curfew, and just this morning they were flying over at 5 a.m.
Well, he's I don't know if they were flying over at 5 a.m., but he may very well be right. And there's no question that the commuter helicopters are a problem too. We have for years been trying to deal with this and gotten nowhere. We've focused now on the tourist helicopters because they are the greater number and we have real leverage. To do something about it, as the city of New York does. On the commuting helicopters, I think you'd really have to persuade the FAA, which we've been trying to do for years with no success.
In a letter you wrote to Mayor de Blasio asking him to ban the tourist helicopters, you said that the industry is unregulated and that it's dangerous. There was that huge accident in 2009 where 9 people died when a tourist helicopter and a small plane crashed midair over the Hudson. How dangerous are these tourism helicopter rides?
They can be quite dangerous. The FAA regulates flights down to, I think, 1,500 feet, if memory serves. And the helicopters generally fly under that, which means they're essentially unregulated. There's some regulation, but of mechanics and so forth, but it's very loose. Now, there are regulations in certain areas in New York City in terms of the traffic patterns for the airports. But that only covers certain areas, and if you're out of those areas, there's very little regulation.
I want to bring Pat from Manhattan into the conversation. Pat, you disagree with Congressman Nadler?
Yes, I do. I live in Rivergate, which is directly across from 34th Street. And before I moved in, I went down to speak to the management to understand, you know, what the use was, what their hours were, how they're regulated, et cetera. And if I wanted, just like anybody moving into a neighborhood, you want to know what your activity in the neighborhood is. And to be honest with you, they were very happy that I came down because they said, you know what, more people should do that and understand that in Manhattan, number one, it's a noisy city. I don't care whether there's a helicopter or not. You can't walk down the street on a cell phone because it's just too noisy. And we all know that. That's one thing. Helicopters, number two, from what I can tell and what I've learned, are not unsafe. They're not unsafe by any means. I don't know why they're being, you know, put out as an unsafe operation when they're completely regulated by maintenance and records and pilots are trained. So I don't understand that. The heliport by me is not open on weekends because it was voluntarily put into their contract. They can't operate on weekends for noise abatement, number one. Number two, they're only open 8 to 8 Monday through Friday. And I go to work every day, so that's not a problem for me. And the third thing, I don't think they do sightseeing because that's been banned also from 34th Street. So the sightseeing business is a huge revenue producer, just like any tourism in Manhattan. It's huge. It's a huge boom to the economy. So I don't understand why none of that is being addressed and only negative impact on as far as noise. We know whether there's a helicopter or not in the air, you got trucks beeping, you got motorcycle traffic, you got just construction.
A lot of noise in Manhattan. Yes, thanks for your call, Pat.
We're not in the Midwest here. This is New York City.
Congressman Nadler, what about that? I mean, this is New York City.
The caller is completely right. The helicopters are banned at 34th. The tourist helicopters are banned at 34th Street. I specifically said we're talking about the downtown heliport. So yes, you're not going to get that at the 34th Street heliport that the caller visited. It's limited to downtown. Secondly, saying that there are problems with or without the helicopter, sure, there are noise problems. Doesn't mean you shouldn't alleviate some of the greater noise problems and some of the greater other problems. It's not a very good argument to say we can't solve all the problems, therefore let's not solve any of them. If we can solve a major source of noise pollution and other environmental problems, we should do that. Now, and that's really the answer to this. Now, it's not a huge revenue producer. Now, unless you assume that people will not come to New York, that people who are thinking of their vacations will decide, I'm going to go to Los Angeles instead of New York or somewhere else because I can't take that helicopter ride, an assumption I think is ridiculous and has no support at all from any survey or other data, the revenue impact is minimal.
So you say they're not huge revenue producers for this tourism helicopter operators. Have you sat down and talked to them?
No, for the operators they may be, not for the city.
Not for the city. Have you talked to the operators?
We have talked to the operators many times, not recently, and we've gotten repeatedly all kinds of assurances as to conduct and time, et cetera, and nothing changes.
And what has the mayor said back to you?
We're waiting. Well, as I said, we haven't spoken to the mayor directly. We met with a number of his people, and they raised some of the questions of tourism and revenue, and we answered them, and we're waiting for the mayor's response.
You're waiting for the mayor's response. So, again, your proposal is to ban tourist helicopters from using the city-owned downtown heliport in Lower Manhattan, and the mechanism would be that would be a city decision. Would it go through council, or is it something the mayor has
No, the mayor can do it by himself, is my understanding. It's a city-owned facility, and they govern it.
John from Battery Park City, I want to bring you into the conversation. You like what you're hearing from Congressman Nadler.
Yes, thank you very much, Congressman Nadler. It's not a glamorous issue, but it's one that affects the quality of life for those of us who live on the Hudson River. I was amused by the caller from 34th Street. We're asking for the same privileges that the 34th Street denizens already have. That heliport is closed on weekends. Tourist helicopters are banned there. The heliport where we live by, which is the downtown heliport, is open 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They run 500 flights out of that heliport every single day. I looked out my window Saturday morning, and I could see five helicopters all within the view of my window at the same time. It's literally living in Battery Park City is like living on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. It's really unbelievable.
And, John, have you noticed an increased pace of those tourist helicopter rides during your time in Battery Park City?
Absolutely. It started after 9/11 when these ghouls would take advantage of disaster tourism to go hover over over Ground Zero, we didn't have the industry before then. And since then, it's only picked up. And this summer has been unimaginable. You can't enjoy a park on the Hudson River because you're always drowned out. You can't enjoy ever peace and quiet. And I believe the congressman said they come by once every 10 minutes. They come by once every 10 seconds. It is really unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of us in Battery Park City, we have PTSD from 9/11, and there's no TSA, there's no transportation safety. Anybody could board one of these things and crash it in God knows where. They hover right outside our windows. They hover outside the Statue of Liberty. It's really abominable.
Thank you for your call, John. Congressman Nadler, I want to ask you about that. I mean, John sort of referenced that there's PTSD in Lower Manhattan, but I was near Brooklyn Bridge Park over the weekend, and it really is a buzz and a hum that if was thinking about what the experience of veterans might be like or what the experience of people who've been around helicopters in not great circumstances, what their reaction might be to those sounds. Have you heard that particular complaint from residents?
We have heard from some Lower Manhattan people. We have heard that complaint from some of the Lower Manhattan people, yes. And I agree with it. But the fact is that you don't have to have PTSD or have been traumatized by 9/11 to be very upset and by constant loud helicopter flights near your window or near you. Now, if you have PTSD or you had that trauma, it's worse. But all kinds of people. We get these complaints every day from all over Manhattan and Lower Brooklyn and part of Brooklyn.
I want to bring Naomi from Somerset, New Jersey, into the conversation, because you are a part owner of an airport. Naomi, you there? Oh, I don't hear Naomi, but we'll see if we can get her back. Congressman Nadler, so let's switch gears briefly to what's happening in Missouri. We've heard from a number of voices from Ferguson, Missouri, earlier in the show. As you watch what the response has been to the protest in the streets, and first the conversation was about the militarization of law enforcement. Now the National Guard is heading to Ferguson. What have been your impressions of the response to the violent protests and the nonviolent protests in Ferguson?
Well, the first response is by the city or the town, whatever it is, Ferguson, we're all wrong. Besides the over-militarization of the response, which is really transmitting a message that the population is the enemy, which is not what you want to do, and total insensitivity, started with that. Then it continued with trying to demonize the victim by publicizing the allegation, an allegation that he was involved in a robbery, which the cop who shot him had no knowledge of in any event, so had no relevance to this, but it was just a nice way of besmirching his name. So and he had already been shot improperly. All the attitudes that were shown was just completely wrong. When Governor Nixon finally brought in, I think his name is Captain Johnson from the National Guard, he started handling it more professionally and reasonably. Now the other problem there, obviously, also, is you have a town that's, I think, 73% black or something like that, and 50 of the 53 police officers are white, and the entire power structure the same. So you had an alienation of the town's people from the town government and from the police department, and a total lack of trust both ways. That was also a problem. Now, when the authorities under Captain Johnson of the National Guard and with the personal attention of the governor seem to be trying to handle the situation more reasonably, and they've displaced the local officials, in effect, who showed that they couldn't handle it. But there's been enough turmoil there so that now you're getting some irresponsible elements and looting, and they're going to have to bring that under control, obviously, and they're going to have to try to change their police department and that whole town structure so as to be more responsive and more respectful of the people there.
On that question of optics, do you believe Congress should look at policies about providing heavy weapons and military-style equipment to small local police departments?
Yes, I do. I think that that's a ridiculous policy that should have stopped long ago. It started after 9/11 when, you know, every police department, I'm exaggerating, many police departments decided that there might be terrorism, the way a terrorist would want to attack some hamlet of 500 people, Lord only knows, but every police department decided that there might be terrorism, so we've got to get a Humvee or an AMRAP or some heavy equipment, and it became a status symbol among police departments. And it just continued by inertia. I mean, I don't think anybody's really examined this policy. It was determined 12 or 13 years ago that we could give surplus military equipment to local police departments. Seemed like a reasonable thing to do, but no one's re-examined it in all that time. I certainly think that that what's going on in Ferguson should be a loud wake-up call that this policy ought to be re-examined and reversed.
And back to what you came on the show for, which is talking about what is a federal regulatory issue with the FAA dealing with helicopters. You are now looking to the city of New York and Mayor de Blasio to more tightly regulate tourist helicopters from downtown Manhattan. But I want to bring in Naomi in Somerset, New Jersey. You there, Naomi?
I am.
So you have some concerns about looking to the city to regulate flights out of lower Manhattan, right?
Well, the FAA, contrary to what the congressman said, was formed to protect interstate commerce, so each little town or state or county couldn't regulate the airspace that the FAA had sole jurisdiction over that. And they are committed to safety. I do run a small airport in New Jersey, and I am familiar with what happens when you have gentrification in the area. The neighbors try to close you down and shut your operation. When Lower Manhattan wasn't so upscale, you didn't have this problem. But now that you have gentrification, the wealthy certainly do have a larger voice. There is an overabundance of heavy regulated industry four helicopters and all aircraft, and particularly in New York airspace with the TSA and the FAA. There is unbelievable regulations to protect the area. In fact, I think it's a bit overboard, but that's what aircraft and the aircraft industry has to deal with.
And you are part owner, you said, of an airport?
I'm sorry?
You're a part owner of an airport?
Yes.
And so
Princeton Airport in Central Jersey.
So you work closely with operators of helicopters and other assorted aircraft?
We're a general aviation facility, which is non-military, non-scheduled airline. We have helicopters, small jets, flight school, helicopter school, and it serves the region and it serves interstate commerce. When we first moved in there, immediately neighbors who moved in recently, the airport, by the way, is well over 100 years old, so none of these people were there when the airport was established. Knowing that there was an airport, they tried to close us, condemn us and everything, all that you could. And we fought the battle, and airspace is protected by the FAA, and you have to, otherwise you would not have a valid interstate commerce situation.
Thank you for your call, Naomi. And Congressman Nadler, she brings up a point of has this become the issue that it's become in your district because people are just living more closer to downtown?
No. First of all, let me say I am very sympathetic to her position about gentrification leading to opposition to pre-existing industrial or other uses. I have fought that in other aspects, especially with rail terminals and existing industry. I don't like to see people's jobs, as a general rule, pushed out because people move into the area and don't like the existing use or the noise or whatever. Having said that, the opposition to this does not come just from wealthy or the wealthier people who live in Lower Manhattan. It comes from Brooklyn. It comes from all across Manhattan, going up to 180th Street, up to the corridor, you know, to Yankee Stadium. It comes from all sorts of people of all levels of wealth and non-wealth, and it's unfair to call it gentrification. You also heard the other gentleman reference the fact that a lot of this tourism and certainly the great increase in tourist helicopters dates from after 9/11. So we didn't have too much of that before then. I don't recall huge numbers of complaints before 9/11, although there may have been some. Thirdly, yes, the FAA is supposed to regulate aviation, and yes, you don't want, in whether it's in rail or in air traffic, every local jurisdiction being able to blockade. You don't want one town to say the rail can't come through my town, and therefore New York and Chicago can't be connected by rail, and the same thing goes by air, and therefore we have interstate commerce, and therefore you have the FAA, but the FAA has singularly failed in its, one of the problems with federal or any regulatory jurisdiction is the tendency of the regulatory agency that regulates a specific agency to be captured, that regulates a specific economic activity to be captured by that, by the people that they deal with all the time, by the industry. I think the FAA, to a large extent, has been captured by the aircraft industry. Now, I don't mean this in terms of certain safety things, but I'm sure they're very good. But clearly, in terms of their relations with other people, the FAA has been totally insensitive to a dozen years of attempts by many elected officials and communities to deal with this. Now, the city of New York happens to have the ability to deal with at least this part of the problem, not all helicopters, but tourist helicopters, because they use a city-owned heliport. Nothing, not the FAA, not the law, nothing mandates that the city permit tourist helicopters to use its airport. And as a matter of good policy, we think it should ban it.
And that's why you've joined the call to Mayor de Blasio to ban tourist helicopters in downtown Manhattan from the downtown heliport.
From the downtown heliport, and therefore essentially from Manhattan and Brooklyn.
And before I let you go, I also want to ask you about the airstrikes in northern Iraq that President Obama authorized earlier this month. He said this doesn't look like this is going to be solved in a matter of days or weeks. Are you worried about the prospect of us being involved in Iraq for a very long time?
Well, I am worried up to a point. I voted against the Iraq invasion back in 2002. I thought no good was going to come of it. I predicted at the time that if we overthrew Saddam Hussein, it would be replaced by a Shiite dictatorship that would be a handmaiden of Iran, which is what has happened. They've alienated all the Sunnis, and therefore you get what you're seeing now. And there's a Hobson's choice to a large extent between Sunni radicals who are terrible and Shiite radicals who are also terrible. And the moderates, sane elements, are very weak. Now, I think the president was entirely right to use airstrikes to prevent genocide against the Yazidis and other people. If the phrase never again after the Holocaust means anything, it means that you have to, when you can, prevent genocide, and we were right to do that. I think it's a good idea to, through airstrikes, try to prevent ISIS, which is a genocidal organization, kill all the Christians, kill all the Jews, kill all the Yazidis, kill everybody who doesn't convert or convert on the spot. I mean, that's a 7th century approach, but they're doing it. So I think that, yes. However, the threat, I don't think ISIS poses a direct threat to the United States, and therefore I'd oppose troops on the ground or anything. The threat that ISIS poses to us, and there is a threat, is that people from the United States, from Western Europe, will go to Syria or Iraq, be trained by ISIS, and come back here with the intent of committing terrorism or other mayhem. That is the problem. But that problem, to us, but that problem has to be dealt with by good counterintelligence, by monitoring people who, Americans or Europeans, who go over to ISIS, either not letting them come back or monitoring them when they come back. It's a question of counterintelligence and police work. The magnitude of that threat is not affected one way or the other by whether ISIS is more or less successful militarily. Now, we do have an interest in how successful militarily they are because of the interests of allies and friends in that region, but we cannot control the outcome of a civil war, no more than we could in Afghanistan. This is going to be, I think, a 30 or 40 years war in the entire Muslim Middle East between the Sunnis and the Shiites and the radical Islamists and others. And we can, in some ways, help and so forth, but we cannot get involved in that civil war. And we have neither the ability to affect the outcome, really, or the need to do so.
So 30 or 40 years war, potentially, you say. Do you think President Obama will have to come to Congress to get approval for what this intervention is turning into?
Oh, yes. I think he did just send this. I think I read in the paper yesterday he sent a letter to the Speaker of the House. Yeah, if it's more than 60 days, he has to come to Congress. And we will, I presume, in Congress, give permission for very limited airstrikes and so forth, but I don't think there's any attitude for American troops, troop involvement in these places.
Congressman Gerald Nadler, we'll have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for joining us back on WNYC.
You're quite welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, we'll talk about making ends meet in the gig economy and how many tasks you really have to do in a day. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.